folks, this is Pastor Mike Hungert coming to you from Watchman Studio with another Watchman video broadcast. This is where we ended up last week. We were dealing with 2 Chronicles chapter 33. Been there a while. Going to keep going with it. Why? Because I think it's important. I think this that we have been dealing with as far as enchantments, we're going to get into wizardry and witchcraft, familiar spirits, and so we're going to get into those things. And I'm not going to pull any punches. There's witchcraft going on in churches right now, and there are people that I think would want to be warned about it. People who still have a regard for the Word of God. But anyway, we're going to see this thing through. I'm not going to finish this series until that capstone's put on top of that, and we know what it is, and we know what's going on, and we know what's bringing it up. This deal with enchantments I started last week, the study and the research that I've put into it, and the end game of where enchantments take you. If you'll study the Bible, you'll study that word, enchantments, enchanters, all the variations that you'll find in the King James Bible. You'll see something in there, and I don't want to give it away right now. I'm building up to it. You'll see something there that if you'll use your Bible glasses, look at it as a prophetic event. There's an event that took place in the Bible that deals with enchantments. We'll see it. I promise you we'll get there. All right? Last week, we left off dealing with the Catholic Church and specifically those who pray the rosary. Now, there was something about that rosary that I was doing the video, I'm going, I'm not done with this. I don't think I'm done with this, but I just can't quite put my finger on it. There's something that came to my mind this last week that I'm going to touch on just for a minute. Then we're going to move on, look at some other areas of enchantments. And when we get there today, I promise you, there's going to be some people that are going to like what I say. There's going to be some people that will not like what I say. It's not what I'm going to say. I'm going to show you that what other people are saying is an outright lie, and it's a lie that didn't just come out of their head. It came up from the bowels of hell. But anyway, concerning the rosary beads, these are not just beads in a cup that they pick up and then they go, Hail Mary, full of grace, and they throw it into another cup, Hail Mary, full of grace. These beads are arranged on a chain. And some of the images, you can pull this up at Google Video or whatever, or Google Pictures. People will pray, will have their hands folded, and they'll have that rosary chain wrapped around their hands. A chain wrapped around your hands is a symbol for bondage. And there are people who are in bond, they have been wrapped up in a rosary chain, and they are in bondage to that because they've been told that if they perform and count through all these little prayer beads, all these little jewels that they have, if they perform these things, then Holy Mary, Mother of Grace, is going to give them something special that she's not going to give anybody else in the whole world. It just angers me. It angers me because I know how good God really is. I know how good His mercy is extended to people like you and me who don't do anything. And yet we trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God heals us. God gives us mercy. God forgives all of our sins. He gives us more grace than He does anybody. Why? Not because of what we do, but because of what we believe. And then here's something that I just want to throw in, and I'm going to read this. Then we're going to move on. But think about that chain and what that chain would represent. I'm in Lamentations chapter 3. Let's drop my pen. I'm in Lamentations chapter 3. And in Lamentations chapter 3, there's a lot of places here in this chapter that lead me to believe that this is the words of somebody that's down in the pit, covered up in ashes. And God hates him. You read this. I've touched on this before, but here's something that stood out to me. Lamentations chapter 3. He has set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. So he's in, whoever this is in the place where all the dead people are. Then he says, he hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. In other words, he's placed barriers and there's no way he's getting out. He hath made my chain heavy. I think that rosary chain represents the chain of the Antichrist that's holding him in. We know that Satan is bound in a chain and cast down into the pit for 1,000 years. Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. That's what the rosary chain is all about. It's about prayer. And if you think that God is hearing you for your much speaking, Jesus told you that you were wrong. And he says, he hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. That is the prayer labyrinth that all these people are praying. But anyway, that's the idea behind the rosary chain. I think it represents the chain of bondage. And you're in bondage. You're not bound to God. You're in bondage to the Antichrist is what you are. Now, I want us to go look at 2 Chronicles 33, and let's kind of get our bearings, and then we'll proceed on with what these enchantments or these incantations are and how they're being done. They're being done in churches and on Christian television, Christian radio stations all over the world. I saw it in Kenya, and I'm going to show you what I mean by that. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places. Let's look at our list. He built again the high places. He rooted up altars for Balaam. Number 3, and he made groves. Number 4, worshipped all the host of heaven. Number 5, and served them. Number 6, he also built altars in the house of the Lord. Number 7, he built altars for all the host of heaven. Number 8, he caused his children to pass through the fire. Number 9, he observed times. Number 10 is what we're dealing with now. He used enchantments. Number 11, and used witchcraft. Number 12, dealt with a familiar spirit. Number 13, and with wizards. Number 14, he set a carved image, the idol which he had made in the house of God. So we're going to go back. We're going to look at this. Number 10, we're going to look at the idea of him using enchantments and what that's all about. And I kind of described enchantment for you a little bit last week. It's incantations. The idea of chanting things, Gregorian chants, or in religious practices all over the world. All over the world. And it doesn't matter if it's in the Vatican, doesn't matter if it's in China or Japan, doesn't matter if it's in India. It's in Africa. The Native Americans, First Nations up in Canada, they all did it. The Aztecs, the Mayans, they all used chants or incantations as part of their religious practice. There is one and only one religious group on the entire world that has not been taught that they have to chant, use enchantments, repeat prayers, repeat words, that there's power in their voice and in their mouth, and that's Bible Christians. Bible Christians, as opposed to other Christians who don't really believe the Bible, don't really read it much, Bible Christians realize and know that there's not anything that comes out of their mouth that impresses God. But when God sees a broken and a contrite heart, someone who not just says, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, how many times was that? Like, I need 15 more times. Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. God sees their heart. He knows exactly that they're broken, they're heartbroken. They're crying over their sins and their transgressions. They're crying out to God because they need help. Those are the people God listens to. And he doesn't need them to, now say the magic words now. Now say the right words. Now say, please. Say, I do that with my grandkids. That grandkids come in every morning to Papa's office and they want candy. And I play this little game now. Say, please. And it's so cute. They're going, please. And I'm just going, I love that. Now I can mess with my grandkids a little bit, but I'm going to give them the candy no matter what. That's God. God's not waiting for us to say the magic or the right words or the power words. The words with the faith force in it. He's not waiting for that. In fact, God gives you stuff that you've never asked for. that you've got. Think about that, because I'm going there, and I'm not going to be nice about it. Especially now, to some people that have fallen for this, yes, I will. I'll be very gentle, because I at one time thought maybe that was the way to go, and I chased it down one night, and God went, stop right here. Okay? So I did. But the others who are caught up in this, I feel bad for you because you've been lied to. Because I'm telling you, there is a simplicity in Christ that these people have no knowledge of whatsoever. They're trying to tell you it's complicated. And even when you did exactly what they told you to do to get whatever it is you wanted from God and it didn't work, all they can tell you is, obviously you didn't say something right, or you didn't do something right, or obviously God is withholding this because there's something not right in your life, and He can't release this until you make the... I'm going to show you somebody that said that. I'm getting stirred up. 2 Kings chapter 17. Let's look at what the Bible says. Then the king of Syria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. And I want you to understand the king of Syria. Let's say he's like the Antichrist. He's the beast, or he's the evil enemy that when he comes up to besiege Samaria, it's not so that he can sell them Tupperware and Girl Scout cookies. All right? He's going to kill everybody in there and own that. In verse 7, for so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods, and walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel and the kings of Israel, which they had made. So there's a reason why the king of Assyria comes up to besiege His people. They feared other gods. They walked in the statutes of the heathen. And God says, I cast these people out. What do you think? I want them back in my land with your name on it? No way in the world. And then it says in verse 16, they left, and I want you to see that word, the commandments of the Lord, think of the Bible. They left all the commandments of the Lord their God and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served Baal. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire. This is exactly what Manasseh did. And used divination, and here it is, enchantments, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel, and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. And we know the rest of the story. We know that at this point, God has taken the 10 northern tribes. The king of Assyria comes down, encompasses them, closes them all for 3 years, stars them out. Then he takes them all hostage and slave and cleans them out of that land. Just like God said in Deuteronomy 28, the king of Assyria is a proto-partial fulfillment of what God told them in Deuteronomy 28, a nation of fierce countenance whose tongue thou shalt not understand. I would assume that nobody spoke Assyrian. So he comes and takes them out of that land. He leaves Judah. But then, of course, Judah, God says, after watching your sister Israel be taken off into captivity, you would think that maybe you could straighten your life up a little bit. Oh, no. You went way farther than they ever did. And then, of course, we know the rest of the story. But anyway, here's the thing. When a church, a ministry, a denomination, a prophecy industry, there is a prophecy, Bible prophecy industry in this country that with some of them rakes in millions of dollars a year. But anyway, when any of that stuff, when they leave the commandments of the Lord their God, things replace it. There's always a replacement. Here is A Course in Miracles. This was written not for Buddhist assemblies. It was not written for agnostics. The atheists don't use this book. This has words in it like Christ and God and the Apostle Paul and things like this. Was written to Christian. This is witchcraft, divination, sorcery, enchantments. It's all about performing rituals, saying ritualistic words, having a right mindset, positive thinking, and all of these things that you must do in order to have these magic tricks performed so that God is released to give you power or to give you lots of money or to heal whatever it is you've got in your body. That's what this, so here, you understand it, right? In order for the enchantments to move in, you have to leave all the commandments of the gods. So here's what I'm telling you. One is as the other. So if you're in a situation, you're in a church, you're at a meeting, you're at the convention center with the big high-paid speaker there, and he starts giving chants and enchantments and power words and say this, and now say it again, now say it again, now say it again. If you're at that meeting, you know for a fact that because enchantments moved in, the Bible left a long time ago. They put it out the door. Now, here's what they'll do. They will use the Bible every now and then to save face, to make it look like they're still following the Word of God, but the truth is they're not. Just a little bit of Bible can convince some people, but they're using the Bible. There are some people who just use it just because it looks good. It's like getting a picture taken with Donald Trump or something like that. Yeah, me and Donald Trump, we're buddies. Okay, that's how some people use the Bible in their meetings. But anyway, they've forsaken what this book really says. They give you little pieces of what they wanted to say, and they're pretty good at, if they don't find it in the King James, they'll go find it in other places. Joyce Meyer. Joyce Meyer lives not too far from here. Her modus operandi is she likes to use the Amplified Bible. The reason why she does is because she does not find her teachings in the plain text of the King James. She will, however, find them in the Amplified, because the Amplified will, in the middle of a verse, in like three or four places, give you all these other expanded ideas that could possibly be the meaning of this certain Hebrew or Greek word. And she latches on to those because that's what really proves her point. But if you just read the Bible, you'll go, that's not what it says. All right. I'm just letting you know how they work. All right. Anyway, so that's the rule. The rule is if they leave the Bible, these things are going to move in. And if you go to a place and these things have moved in, you know that they left the Bible, because they don't exist in the same place at the same time. They don't. It's one or the other. Jeremiah 27. I want you to look at this. Because God was telling Jeremiah to tell them, your prophets, your preachers, your religious Christian conference leaders, the people who sit up on the platform, the people who are the highly paid dignitaries who come in and get paid, you know, 10 grand just to open their mouth for about 40 minutes. God said your own prophets turned out to be enchanters. Jeremiah 27:8, and it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with the sword and with the famine and with the pestilence, until you have consumed them by his hand. Therefore, hearken not to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon. Glory, hallelujah, praise Jesus. For they prophesy a lie unto you to remove you far from your land, that I should drive you out and you should perish. I want you to catch that now. The phrase, the idea, you're going to serve the king of Babylon. Think of the king of Babylon as the devil, the beast, Antichrist, false prophet, whatever it is, bad. Okay? The prophets will say, you know, you're better than that. God has a destiny for you that's higher than serving the king of Babylon. You're going to have peace. You're going to have wealth and prosperity. You're going to have total health in your body. You will not serve these things. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Your prophets are going to tell you that. And God says, when your prophets tell you that, they're setting you up. Because I'm telling you, you're going to serve the king of Babylon. you're going to be under his cruel authority. And you're going to hate it. And you're going to be convinced in your mind because you made enough positive confessions and you gave enough seed money to, who some of these guys are. Frederick K.C. Price and Creflo Dollar and Robert Tilton and Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin Jr. now took an, the son has taken over his father's empire. You made seed faith donations to them and to Mike Murdoch, and God promised you a 20-fold, a 70-fold, a 100-fold return on that, and you will no longer be under the bondage of poverty. Bless God, hallelujah, praise the Lord. God says, they're setting you up. Because sure as the world exists, you're going to be up, you're going to be under the dominion of the king of Babylon. And don't listen to your prophets or your enchanters telling you that. I got a picture of a couple of them here. The power of I am. Remember last week? The queen, our lady, who says, I am and there is none beside me. That's what Joel Osteen's book is all about. It's about how you are like a god and you can say all these words and you can make all these pronouncements and you can do the chants and the incantations and the power words and the power thoughts and the positive confessions and you can push away the king of Babylon and it will never have dominion over you ever again. And Joyce Myers, power thoughts, same thing. I bought the book. So I'm not just speaking blindly about, I don't like Joyce because she's a woman and she's rich and she doesn't pay her taxes here in this county. And it has nothing to do with that. It's if it comes out of her mouth and it's against the scriptures, then I know it's wrong. I know for a fact. I bought the book. I've been going through it. I've been underlining certain things. I've been collecting certain things that she said. And I'm telling you. She is one of the enchanters and the diviners that will tell you that you do not have to be under the dominion of the king of Babylon. But folks, if you believed her, that's precisely where you're going. And all of hers and your power thoughts in the world will not change that. Now, I've mentioned this several times, Pastor Mike online and in other places. I read books. I read stuff like this. Okay, I don't recommend everybody doing it. You might read Morals and Dogma. Believe me, it's not hard to get a copy of it. You can get them just about anywhere. I've read Morals and Dogma. I've read other things. I have some books on witchcraft that some people have sent me in PDF and things like that, and I've gone through them. I've read them. There's one book called Hedge Witchery. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 7, he hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Hedge witchery. Written by a woman who practices witchcraft, who practices positive confessions. She practices in her daily routine of getting things that she wants, getting things that her eyes and her flesh lusts after. She basically says the universe wants to give you everything it's got. It wants to make you rich, wants to make you healthy. It wants to give you everything that you could possibly desire, which is covetousness, lust. The universe wants to give you that, but it can't until you release it to with your power words and your positive chants and things like that. You have to perform these things. But she basically says that her life is spent giving out positive things, saying positive things, thinking positive things, so that in doing that, the universe releases to her the things that she wants. She can get anything that she wants simply by using her brain and her mouth in the right way. This is what witchcraft is. This is what Wicca is all about. This is what her concept of hedge, Lamentations 3, hedge witchery is all about. Here's what she said. Repeat, always a blessing in your mind until you feel the energy shift within yourself. I used a hedge witch technique whenever I felt doubt coming on. I said repeatedly, see, stop right here. Do you see it already? She says, repeat, always a blessing. And then she said, repeatedly. You know what that is? It's a chant. See, you thought a chant was just like abracadabra, hocus pocus, okay? Cucamonga, Kalamazoo. That's what you thought a chant was. But Jesus told us, don't use vain repetitions when you pray, as the heathen do, for they think they can be heard by their much speaking. And I showed you last week, one prayer, one time, is all it takes. One prayer. God knows your heart, and God is your Father. And if God is your Father, and you abide in the vine, Jesus Christ, you shall ask, and you ask according to the will of God. He'll always give you what you want or give you something better. That's how God is. God, the real God, does not require repeating the prayer over and over and or repeating the verse over and over again, or repeating the chorus of the song over and over and over again in order to really get God's power down. We sang that song 38 times in a row. And boy, did the power of God fall down. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I think it was a different spirit. But anyway, she said, I used a hedge witch technique whenever I felt doubt coming on. I said repeatedly, it always works. And it did. Linking your mind to a physical object to support your belief or matching your words to something you know to be true is not new. Now that is hedge witchery. That is at the core and the essence of witchcraft. Witchcraft is, and I've made this statement before, I think there's two religions and only two religions in the world. Bible, Christianity, and witchcraft. And you can tell the difference. You can tell the difference in, number one, the humility of the people. You can tell the difference in what they're willing to give up in this life, what they're willing to do without in this life. You can tell the difference in how they poured their heart out to God and they cried and they wept and they confessed sins and told God how awful and wicked and vile and disgusting they were. Those are not witches. Those are Bible-believing Christians. They know that God's way bigger than they are and that they're vile and disgusting and should have been cast into hell a long time ago. And yet God saved them by His grace. That's what God knows about them. But everybody else in the world does chants. They sing power thoughts. They have power words. They keep telling themselves over and over, I am rich. I am rich. I am rich. And you know what they're doing? They're lying. They were told by either the hedge witch people or the power of positive thinking people that in order to be rich, you must think that you're rich. And if you think that you're rich, then you must proclaim that you're rich, even if you've only got $1 in the bank and 12 bills. You must say, I am rich. Now, I don't know how everybody else in the world thinks, but if I go around town telling everybody, I am a wealthy millionaire, and I tell my banker, hey, I'm a wealthy millionaire. And she's got my account pulled up. And, sir, you're overdrawn in all three of your accounts and your credit cards are about ready to be cut off because you're not paying your bill. They know I'm lying through my teeth. And see, really, positive confessions and power words and power thoughts, that's precisely what they are. They're telling you to lie so that you can make it true. Now, that was hedge witchery. That was a book on witchcraft. Always repeat. Repeat. Always a blessing. I say repeatedly. It always works. Say it. Think it. You got to think it the right way and say it the right way and repeat it over and over and over again. Now, here is Joyce's book, Power Thoughts. Here's what she said. Joyce Meyer said. Sinking into self-pity, worrying, being anxious, and speaking negatively prevent God from helping us. But trusting Him and continuing to do good releases Him to work mightily. I'm going to read the rest of it, but I got so much to say already. We can think ourselves happy and we can think ourselves sad. How we talk to ourselves definitely affects our emotions. So if I talk to myself properly, I can stay content and emotionally stable. So often, God wants to give us one of the desires of our hearts, and He cannot do so because we refuse to have it. That's enchantments and witchcraft, is what it is. She says, speaking negatively. Now, here's what that is. God, you see the lowest state of your servant. And God, we're hurting. We're hurting physically. It's hard to find jobs. We're depressed. It's affecting our marriage. God, we have the bill collectors coming. God, we don't know what to do. God, we just simply ask you that you look upon the lowest state of your servants. And God, that you help us. And when you do, we won't praise ourselves and we won't thank ourselves. We'll thank and worship you for all of eternity because you're a good God to us and you've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his saints begging bread. So God, please, for your mercy's sake and your love's sake, God, will you help us poor sinners? Please, God, we pray this through Jesus and in his name. Amen. You know what Joyce Meyer says? God's not going to listen to that. This idea that God is unreleased reminds me an awful lot of a guy down in a pit that has been hedged about and he cannot get out and God made his chain heavy. And when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. And he hath enclosed my ways with huge stone and hath made my paths crooked. That is for this God. This God is the one who's bound up, chained up, locked up, hedged up, and he can't get out. He needs to be released. That is not my God. My God is not bound. He's not chained up. He's not been cast out of his authority to work mightily on behalf of those who love him and call upon him. That is not that God that she has is not the same God that I believe in. And if you want to criticize me or criticize anybody else because they come out against her and tell the truth on her, and you say, well, you're supposed to be brothers and sisters, you should go to her privately. Listen, there ain't a way in the world she's going to let me come through the front door, much less write her an email or make a phone call to her, number one. Number two, we're not related, either by blood or by spirit. She and I serve two different gods. My God doesn't need to be released by what I say and think. My God's already been working in my life since before the foundation of the world. I get a little bent out of shape when I see this. Number one, now if she was just some old gal that, I don't know, three or four people came to the meeting and listened to every now and then, I wouldn't make a big deal about it. But wherever she goes, she draws in thousands, tens of thousands of people, wherever she goes. The number of books that she has written and sold always, always end up on the New York Times best-selling list. She's everywhere. I went to Kenya. She's got people buying books of hers out there. When I tell them she's a witch, they go, yeah, oh yeah, she's a witch. And by the way, I know people live around here that know her, some that have worked for her. She's not all Mrs. Positive Confession like she claims she is either. She's not. She's like both a witch in practice and in temperament, if you know what I mean. Speaking negatively prevent God from helping us, but trusting Him and continuing to do good releases Him. And we can think ourselves happy. We can think ourselves sad. And what she's saying is that if I'm sad for whatever reason, it's because I had already previously thought myself to be sad. People don't fall for this stuff. That's enchantments. Now, here's another book called Ceremonial Magic. Now, this one, I don't recommend you have. Okay, most of the books that I'm telling you about, don't go looking for a copy of them because some of them get pretty down in there. Okay, And God, I think God allows certain people that can handle this kind of stuff to look into it, but it's, I promise you, it's not for everybody. Now, there are things that I cannot touch. There are things in areas that I cannot go into, okay? Because that wouldn't be good. That would not be good for me. So everybody's got their thing that they can and cannot do in the kingdom of God. And I'm telling you, don't go looking for this book. Ceremonial magic. Here's what a guy now who writes a book. It's based upon the hidden keys of Solomon, the lost keys of Solomon, the grimoires and things like that. Here's what he says that enchantments do. To perform many of the rituals in this book, you have to first learn a simple technique for vibrating names of power. To do this, take a deep breath and slowly pronounce the word of power you are using with your entire exhaled breath. There should be no breaks in your pronunciation. The word of power should become one long, flowing, monotonous sound if done properly. See that word, if? If done properly, it should sound like you are almost humming the word in a single drawn-out note. While doing this, try to, quote, hear this word vibrating through the entire universe. Practice this technique before starting the next exercise. And again, that's from a book called Ceremonial Magic. Joyce Myers, she's got more than one book out. You know, Power Thoughts, that's what the whole book is. It's about thinking the thoughts first and then uttering the words in the right way. Here's another book she wrote, Change Your Words, Change Your Life. And I'm going to show you some more examples of why this is so bad. Because these people believe that if you speak it purposely or nonchalantly, it becomes reality. So if you say, man, my back hurts, bing, your back is going to hurt worse now. And my back is killing me. Bing! You're two breaths away from having a massive coronary. That's the kind of stuff these people teach. And Joyce. Joyce runs with this same crowd that I'm gonna talk about today. I'm talking about the Creflo Dollars and the Freddie Price. Why would you be in the money-making business in church and call yourself Price and Dollar? Why would you do that? So you see her book, Change Your Words, Change Your Life. And what that is, it's related to something. You may have some experience with this. You may have seen this before. There is a video that came out. It later was turned into a book, and now it's gone all over the place. Books and videos and calendars and seminars and everything like that. It started out being called The Secret. A lady by the name of Rhonda Burns, not a born-again, Bible-believing, King James-only Christian, learned witchcraft. She learned a witch's technique for getting things released to her that the universe is holding. The universe, in their idea, in the Wiccan's idea, in the hedge witch's idea, and the people who practice this stuff, the universe has everything. It's got all the gold, all the silver, all the money, all the nice houses, all the bimbo women that you want. It's got everything. It's got all the healing properties. It's got everything. But it's all locked up. And the key to getting that unlocked is opening your mouth, thinking it first, and then opening your mouth and saying and uttering the power words. Joyce Myers says power thoughts. She says your words can change your words, change your life. She has another book called The Answer Is Right Under Your Nose, meaning your mouth. And Joyce Myers is a huge, huge proponent of speaking the power words to create the universe that you want to live in. Joel Osteen is the same way. Others are like them. They say that your thoughts and your tongue create the world around you. And if you don't like the world you're in, then you have to change your thoughts and you have to change your mouth so that you speak this. And when you speak it, it becomes reality. They even use this idea that you are a little god. And you have the same power to create that God has. And the reason why you're not doing well in life is because you've got this creative force coming out of your mouth, bless God, hallelujah, that you're creating all these negative things around you. Well, if you just take that and turn that and change your mind and change your thoughts and change your words into these things, you're going to get all these positive things to you. And it starts out by you writing me a check for $5,000. That's called putting my money where your mouth is. Bless God, hallelujah. But anyway, Rhonda Burns did a video and wrote a book about it called The Secret. And it really, what it really is the law of attraction. The law of attraction says that the universe has all of this good stuff for you, but it's all bound up and it needs to be released. And you release it by thinking it first. Power of positive thinking, Norman Vincent Peale. Robert Schuller taught the same thing. All of these, and I'll tell you something. If you learn this stuff and you learn how to spot it, I almost guarantee you, in a church near you that's not even a charismatic church, these principles have crept in unawares into churches and pulpits in your neighborhood, unawares. The idea that you can attract good things to you by speaking the words. Dan Brown, the reason why, after the Da Vinci Code took off, Dan Brown was reported to be writing another book on, and he let it out that it was about Freemasonry, and everybody thought it would come out quickly to kind of ride the wave that he was on, all right, the popular wave. So he's writing this book about Freemasonry in Washington, D.C., but he learned something in the process that he had to investigate further. It's why he said it took so long to get this book out, The Lost Symbol, out. And out of the blue, I've read the book, and I still don't have any idea why he thought he had to include this in there. But he taught about noetic science. And I'm not going to get much into that today. But noetic science is basically the same thing. It's a law of attraction. It says that if you get 30 people together and you can get them to think all the same thought, then whatever it is that they're thinking will come into reality. That's noetic science. And there are people who are studying this right now. There are people that are putting millions and millions of dollars and hours into this, studying this same thing. And Dan Brown, it captured his attention so much that he had to investigate it and ended up putting it in the law. I still couldn't figure out why it was in there, but it was in there. The idea of noetic science, the idea that if you can get a collective to think the same thought or to channel their thought energy in such a way, then that would bring about a reality. I'm going to tie some things together now. I've showed you hedge witchery, Course in Miracles, The Secret, The Law of Attraction, Power Thoughts, Power Words, in with New Age Thought, showing you that part of it, and then showing you the quote-unquote prophets that are trying to convince you that if you declare that the king of Babylon won't come and rule over you, then it won't happen. Then I'm going to compare that with the Word of God. Here's a guy, here's his video link. I saw this on YouTube. I just kind of did a little check on incantations and enchantments, things like that on YouTube. Here's one of these power thinkers. Now, I can tell by listening to him, he wasn't a born-again Christian. He wasn't even Christian-esque in what he was saying. He was one of these New Age, power positive thinking life coaches that was going to show you how you could have a nice new car, a luxury car. You could have a sailboat. You could have three houses. You can have five mistresses. You can have whatever you want to by doing these things. And look at what he said. He actually says incantations. I want to emphasize the power of incantations. It is something that is said again and again with so much emotional intensity that it becomes ingrained as part of your nervous system. Now, I'm going to stop right here. Because while you may not have heard a sermon teaching you that, you might have been part of a worship service that used that concept as its basis. Incantations, and he nails it. Something that is said again and again with so much emotional intensity And I'll tell you, there's nothing that can draw the emotions out of man more so than music. Hollywood producers know this. They know that the right music can make or break a movie. George Lucas, when he first made Star Wars, they were surprised at some of his decisions because it didn't, to the old school Hollywood, it didn't make sense. And one of his decisions was to use a symphonic score for the movie Star Wars instead of, you know, disco, which was big back then, or some crazy thing like that. When you went to see Star Wars for the very first time, do you remember the first thing that got your attention about this movie was that bang, that was John Williams. John Williams is a genius at this stuff, and he kind of set the mark high for all these score producers that came after him. But John hit it right at the opening with that Star Wars music now that everybody knows by heart. But that's the first thing that kept everybody's going, and they're reading what's scrolling across the screen. That's what hooked everybody. The worship services that are going on in these churches are nothing more than to get the incantations out with the emotional intensity. Because they do. And they do it well. Let's look at what he said. They do this with so much emotional intensity that it becomes ingrained as part of your nervous system. He said a lot of the, quote, limiting beliefs in your life are there because you said them to yourself so many times. Like, I don't have enough time. You probably believe that because you kept saying that again and again. And he said, incantations is a way to proactively condition the beliefs and the mindset you want that will support you in your success. So it comes in power, positive thinking, power words, power thoughts, positive confessions versus negative. And what he's saying here is the reason why, the only reason in the world why you don't have enough time to get things done in a day is because you keep saying, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for this. Tell them to call back. I don't have time for that. That's why you don't have, because you know what you did? You just told the universe, speed up time for me. Take away all my time to do anything that you just told the universe to do that. That's what these people teach and what they believe. Now, this is a new age guru. This is a guy that would probably be hired to go to a Fortune 500 company and make a speech for them like Anthony Robbins. I got something by him here in a little bit. Okay. Now, that was the new age. That's witchcraft. That's how they talk. So let's take that same thought now, that same idea, and let's go into guys that some people have been led to believe are Christians, Christian pastors, Christian leaders, Christian prophets, men and women of God who are hearing this from God, and they're teaching us these wonderful things that all the Baptist people and all the mean guys, King James only people, they want us in poverty. We're going to listen to this guy so we know how to be rich. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you what makes me mad. It's when these guys go into poor neighborhoods, sometimes Hispanic neighborhoods, black neighborhoods, poor white neighborhoods. When they go to countries like Kenya, some of the poorest people on the earth, they go there and they spread this power of positive nonsense, garbage, witchcraft, convincing these people that the reason why their whole nation is poor is because they're not making positive confessions. And then take all their money and leave. That makes me angry. I've been to Kenya twice, and both times I've warned them. Guy comes over from America, don't believe him. You don't believe him. You get your Bible out and you read it. God will send you revival and God will bless you, and you'll get to a place where you say, you know what, I don't care if I only have 300 shillings a day, which is about $3. I don't care if I don't have a bunch of money. I have Jesus and I have His Word, and I'm rich beyond. See, that's the real riches of a Christian. Real Christian. Real Christians, they don't care how much money they have in the bank. They don't worry about it. Rich or poor, they don't worry about it. They just say, if I lost it all today, I've been there. If I lost it all today, and I had this, you can't touch me. It's a good place to be, people. God said, trust not in uncertain riches, for they grow wings as eagles and fly away. If you ever looked on the back of a $1 bill, you'd see that eagle. Okay? So that's what the New Age witchcraft people say. Now let's look at some of the prophets of prosperity, they're called. We're going to start, again, if I was going to be a charismatic word faith wealthy preacher, I would change my name from Price or Dollar to something like, I don't know what it would be, but it would not be Price and it would not be Dollar. Here's what Frederick K.C. Price said. Now remember what the guy said before, the guru, the New Age guru about incantations. If you speak it, that's why it's happening. If you say you don't have enough time, that's why you don't have enough time. So if you just said, I have all the time in the world, you would get all the time in the world. Listen to what Frederick Price says. Satan will keep you bound, poor, sick, and oppressed by ensnaring you with your own words when you make such negative confessions as, I think I'm going to be sick. It is important that we guard our words and form the habit of always making a positive confession. You can see the video that he said that on. That's what he said. He said, you brought yourself down under demonic oppression by saying, I think I'm going to be sick. You said it. Of course now you're going to be sick. You said you were going to be sick, and you brought sickness upon your life because you made that negative confession. It makes me angry, people. Because I know people right now that are dying. And they would give everything in the world to be healed of their diseases. And people have come to them and told them, the reason why you're dying is because you don't have enough faith and you have not said the positive confessions in order to make yourself healthy. And so it's your own. And let me tell you what this really is. This is why it upsets me so much. It makes me angry. I'm like David in Psalm 119. I hate every false way. It's taking people who are already so down and in the pit and telling them, the reason why you're not out, it's all your fault. You did it to yourself. And so if you're sick, you've got it coming. God has a hot, hot, hotter place in the lake of fire for people who do that to other people. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Charles Capps. One of these others, Charles Capps, in a book called The Tongue, A Creative Force, here's what he said. You see, there is more to it than just saying it. The words must originate from the inner man where spiritual power is released through words. Spirit words can control both the spirit world and the physical world because the words themselves have power. They will work for either God or man in the same manner. The spirit of man is not of this world, it is of the spirit world. The creative ability of man comes through his spirit. He speaks spirit words that work in the world of the spirit. They will also dominate the physical world. He breathes spirit life into God's word and it becomes a living substance working for him as it worked for God in the beginning. These spirit words dominate the natural world. Now, here, he just said that the very same witchcraft that they're telling you to perform is the same witchcraft that God performed to create the entire universe. That's what they're saying. They are. All of them say that faith is not just trusting in God. Faith is a force, like the force on Star Wars. And you watch Star Wars enough to know, you'll see these people go and stick their hand out like that, and all of a sudden the lightsaber comes flying through the air into their hand. And they can close their eyes and they can battle and do all this and stuff like that. It's because they're tapping into the force that's in the universe. Only theirs is released by words. Now that force, people, I want you to get this. What they're really telling you is that there is a force out there that is more powerful than God. And God used the faith force to create the universe. That's heresy, that's blasphemy, and they are not brethren because we don't have the same Father. Here's another one of Cap's words, releasing the ability of God. Now again, think about this, releasing, here's God, he's in handcuffs, he's tied up in a box, and he's going, let me out of here, hey, I'll make you rich if you let me out of here, come on, let me out. That's their God. Their God is hedged about, he's stoned in, he's wrapped in a heavy chain, and he can't get out. He's crying to God to let him out, and God's not going to let him out. So if you speak the magic words, now listen, people, I know where I'm going with all this. I know what the end game is. It's in your Bible. And when I show it to you, you're going to go, bum, bum, bum. You won't even have any music. You'll go, that's it right there. That's where this is going. Because there is something that's bound and needs to be released or wants to be released. And it's not our God. It's the other guy. Here's what Cap said. You can have what you say. The powerful force of the spiritual world that creates the circumstances around us is controlled by the words of the mouth. This force, look at it, comes from inside us. The confession of our mouth will cause you to possess it. Discipline your vocabulary, he says. Today your word is God over your circumstances. The confession of your mouth, even after you have prayed correctly, will determine whether or not you receive. You can release the ability of God through the words of your mouth. Not true. It's interesting to me how very little scripture verses they use to justify it. Oh, they'll use words like life and death is in the power of the tongue. That, I agree with that. I mean, if, you know, you're standing up against a guy and he's pulled a rifle or a pistol on you and you just start cursing him and calling him all kinds of names and then you talk about his mom and you say, go ahead and shoot me. Well, he's going to shoot you. There's no doubt in the mind about it. Your mouth did that for you. But there is zero teaching in your Bible about how God is limited. Until you, he even said, even after you pray, if you don't follow that prayer up with a performance of positive thoughts and positive words, using the force now to get your way, then God cannot, he cannot answer your prayer because you have not released him in the box and the chains and the hedge and under the stone that he's trapped in. You've not released him to do it, so he can't. So your prayers mean nothing unless you use the words of faith. Kenneth Copeland, same thing. In a book called The Laws of Prosperity. See, I keep coming across that word too. See, there's the law of attraction, and we know that's witchcraft. That's in witchcraft books, the law of attraction is. It's in hedge witchery. I'll show that to you. I don't think it's coming up today, but I'll show it to you. So these guys say that there is a law of prosperity, a law of faith, which says, if you think it in positive ways and make positive confessions. I knew a lady that used to work for Joyce Myers. And I listened to her talk one time, and she said something derogatory about somebody she didn't like, and she said, "What? Oh man, I know those are, that's, I just made a negative confession. I know that." And that was several years ago, and I'm going, what did you just say? Negative confession. That don't sound right to me. You know where she learned it? She learned it from her old boss who fired her. Didn't treat her very well. I don't know. When you're a witch one way, you're a witch in other ways. Here's what Kenneth Copeland said in his Law of Attraction. Oh, no, excuse me. Law of Prosperity book. He says, you can have what you say. In fact, what you are saying is exactly what you are getting now. If you are living in poverty and lack and want, change what you are saying. It will change what you have. Discipline your vocabulary. God will be obligated to meet your needs because of his word. If you stand firmly on this, your needs will be met. Now I want to go back and apply this to the passage that we read about the king of Babylon. God said, I'm going to send you the king of Babylon. And if you won't be under his dominion and control, because I'm going to put him there, then you're going to have me to deal with. And he said, your prophets, your diviners, your wizards, and your enchanters, they're all going to tell you that you don't have to be under his authority. Bless God. Praise. If you, the reason why those people in Judah was put under the dominion of the king of Babylon is they did not have enough faith to proclaim in Jesus' name that they would not be under the king of Babylon. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, I've listened to them talk. I know how they do it. They would have told these people in Judah, if we just profess in Jesus' name that we will not be carried into Babylonian captivity, then bless God, we won't. And if we end, if you end up there, it's your own fault because you didn't confess it. And you didn't sow a seed into our ministry of $500,000 because some of you got it. I know you do. They all say the laws of attraction slash prosperity, they all work this way. You got to think it first, and then when you think it enough, and squeeze all that. If you have even a mental image of a doubt in your mind, God cannot release it to you. Let me ask you a question. How easy is it to change your thoughts? I want you to, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think of a very beautiful meadow with beautiful flowers all around it, and butterflies flying and little dragonflies coming around here and there, and little fish coming up to the top to get little things to eat and things like that. And there's a nice breeze blowing and the sun is shining, but don't think of a trash heap. You just thought of a trash heap, didn't you? You know what that did? That ruined your positive thinking. And that's why you did not own. That's why you right now do not own that beautiful meadow with the butterflies and the dragonflies. And you don't own that. It's because you thought a negative thought. That's what they're telling you. Let me tell you something about the thoughts of man. You don't have the ability to create positive enough thoughts to create positive things. Because you're wicked, deceitful, lustful, lascivious, dirty, picture-building mind will never be good enough. Never. Let's see here. Kenneth Hagin, who's dead now, because he didn't confess life for some reason. I don't know. God had faith in his own words. God, this is what Kenneth Hagin said. God had faith in his faith because he... Stop! God had faith in his what? His faith? You know what he just said? He just said that this force called faith is actually more higher up and more powerful than he is. See, when I say I trust God to supply all my needs, that assumes the idea that God is more powerful and is able to supply all of my needs. I never say to my grandson Liam, I have faith that Liam is going to provide me with enough money to retire on. He's going to fill the gas tank of my car all the time. I have confidence in Liam that he's going to do that. See, you never trust somebody that's lesser than you. You always trust something higher than you, and that faith force, according to them, is higher than even God, because he said God had faith in his faith. Because he spoke words of faith and they came to pass. That faith force was transported by words. The God kind of faith is released by the words of your mouth. Spiritual things are created by words. Even natural, physical things are created by words. You get what you say. There, his two children, he's talking about his two children, 30 some years of age today, and I don't believe I prayed more than half a dozen times for them, for both of them in all these years. Why? Because you can have what you say, and I had already said it. If you confess sickness, you get it. If you confess health, you get it. Whatever you say, you get. Can you believe an idiot? who admitted to everybody that he hasn't prayed for his kids more than a dozen times and not going to. Why? Because he already said it, bless God. He pronounced prosperity over them in Jesus' name. See, you always say, you always get what you say. Well, apparently at some point, Kenneth Hagin must have said, I'm dying. Because that's what happened. He's dead now. Here's what, now that's what all this says that you can do with your thoughts. Let's see what God really says about your thoughts. Psalm 94:11. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Psalm 139:23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your... This is God speaking. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, the witchcraft, the warlocks, the power, the law of attraction, the prosperity guys, gurus, witches, enchanters, told you that the same faith that God used to create the universe is the same faith that you have, and you have that same creative ability. You're just not using it. They just called God a liar. They're telling you that the same thoughts that God has, there's the same thoughts that you can have, and then when you utter those thoughts, you create whatever it is you want to create. God had already said, my thoughts are higher, are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As of this point, I don't believe a word those people said. This is all I need right here. I'm done. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they're vanity. What did Jesus say about being a cubit too short? Can you, with a thought, add one cubit to your stature? Nah. Can't do it. Now, Jeremiah 6:19, watch this. There, because this is, we're gonna end it here. But this is getting into where we're going with his enchantments. It's big, okay? Jeremiah 6:19, Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even, look at here, the fruit of their thoughts. Because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. Now, let me stop right here. There is a story in this Bible that will show you what happens as a result of enchantments. And it has everything to do with something that is dead being brought back, to life. Okay? You'll find it. You can find it. Okay? Just study enchantments in the Bible. You'll find it. Okay? Be ready. Because what God's going to do with Copeland and Hagin and Meyer and Osteen and Charles Capps and Frederick Price and Creflo Dollar and all of those who follow their ministries and all the people who have been sucked into that witchcraft nonsense, the enchantments, the people, the rosary people, all of those people, one of these days, the thoughts of their mind are going to bear fruit. God's going to give it to them. Everything that they enchanted for, they're going to get exactly what they had coming. So just be ready for that one. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him, now here I want you to get this. Does the Bible say that you must make the right confession with the right words and the right thoughts in order to get what you want from God? Does the Bible say that? No, it actually says exactly the opposite. Ephesians 3:20, Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Romans 8:26, Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings, which, look at here, cannot be uttered. Didn't say you had to utter them in tongues. It said they cannot be uttered. There are things that you need from God that you can't even say. You don't even know what to ask for. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to God in prayer, bawling my eyes out, God, I don't even know what to ask you for. God, right now, my mind is jumbled around so much, I don't even know what to pray for, nor how long I can pray. God, I'm simply asking you to have mercy on me and to watch over me today, to heal my diseases, to forgive my sins, and to bless the work of my hands and bless my family and bless my church. God, that's all I want from you today. It's all I need. And I don't care how you do it, God. I don't care what you do. As long as you that do it, because I trust you. And the Bible's telling us plainly that you ask God for something, and God says, you know what? I've got something for you abundantly above what you just asked me for. Why don't I give you that? It's like going to your dad and saying, Dad, they're having something at school, and you know, I'd like to participate in it, and it's going to cost, you know, the base cost is like $20, and we're going to go on this little trip, and they need $20 from everybody. And they said they might stop and do some things, but I know that's, you know, just 20, all I want to do is go on the trip. That'd be enough for me. Can I have $20? And your dad pulls out a $100 bill and says, Son, pay for the trip, and then whatever you get, whatever you want to do, or whatever they do along the side there, along the way, as part of the trip, have a good time. And you're going, Dad, are you sure? Yeah, son. Come on, I love you. Okay? Come on. Have a good time, son. My dad's cool. My dad's so cool, man. He does it because he loves you. He knows that you can't possibly ask for everything that needs to be done in your life because you don't even know half of what needs to be done in your life. But you trust the one that does know because his ways and thoughts are way higher than yours. And I serve a God, not a God that's bound up in a chain, under a stone, behind a hedge, whose prayers cannot get answered. I serve a God who's not bound so that he needs to be released by what I say. I serve a God that's already the most powerful entity beyond this universe. And he doesn't need for me to come up with all the good ideas about what I want in life and what will make me happy. Right now, there is probably a $1.4 billion lottery going on. Whoever gets, if someone picks the one matching ticket, they will receive $1.4 billion. Okay? I did the math on that. They can give that to you in lump sum, but they take part of it out, or they can give it to you over 29 years. You're looking at about, I don't know, $4.5 million a month every month for the next 29 years. I've not bought a ticket. I don't want it. I don't think me having $1.5 billion is a good idea for what I do. I think it'd be bad. If God wants us to have something here, if he wants to bless us here, he's certainly got my permission, but he doesn't really need my permission. God knows more about what I want and what will make me happy and what I need more so than I do. So I haven't bought my lottery ticket, and I'm not going to. Because I don't trust in uncertain riches. But I do trust him. And he's able to give me things that I, number one, I had never even thought of. Number two, I don't even know how to ask for them. But I know just as if one of my children said, help, I would be there in an instant. And I would not stop and say, before I can do anything, you need to tell me exactly what I need to do. Kids don't know that, but the adults do. Now take that up one level. God is our Father. We're the kid. We're the child. We have no idea what to ask God for. He gives it to us. Because he's good. He's better at it than we are. And I trust him. People don't fall for this. It's witchcraft and it's bondage. Because if you do everything that they tell you to do, and it doesn't work, and it won't work. If God loves you, he will not let it work. The only thing they know how to tell you is, obviously you didn't do something right. And it's always going to be your fault. You don't need that. You got enough on you. All right? Now, this is all headed someplace, okay? Study your Bible. It's about conjuring. This is about invoking a God or a power or a spirit or getting it to work by saying the magic words. That's Power Thoughts. That's Joyce Meyer. That's all these people. Get ready for it. Because there's going to be an invocation of the beast here one of these days. And that picture's in the Bible. I'll show it to you. All right. God bless you. You pray for me. Pray for our ministry. Pray that God will always use this to be a blessing to you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.